A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.'" And Jesus said to his disciples, "The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's gospel can be approached from many different directions. The evangelist Luke has pulled together a number of Jesus' teachings and presents them as interwoven threads. I want to focus on one of those threads that at first hearing might catch us by surprise and cause us to wonder if perhaps we missed something. Jesus begins his teaching to the disciples by telling a story about a steward who is caught misusing his master's property. Informed that he is going to lose his job, the steward cuts a financial deal with each of his master's debtors, thereby positioning him to garner a return favor when he becomes unemployed. The debtors obligingly go along with the scheme. The story ends with Jesus saying, "And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently." To highlight the primary lesson of the story, Jesus adds his commentary, "For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light." Jesus does not condone the steward's dishonest behavior, squandering his master's property, or scheming to alter the promissory notes. Jesus does, however, commend the dishonest steward for being prudent. Jesus gives the steward credit for being astute. By his actions, it is clear that the steward recognizes the seriousness of his situation and devises a strategy to ensure that his physical needs will be provided for when his financial means are depleted. The steward is both industrious and diligent. He assesses the reality before him, makes a plan to address it, and follows it through. Although the situation is not identical, as I read the story about the dishonest steward, I could not help but think about the scandalous Ponzi scheme devised by the now infamous Bernie Madoff. He set in motion a technically brilliant but devious strategy to amass his own fortune. One can only imagine how much time, energy, planning, and plotting went into sustaining this deception for almost 3 decades. So another way to phrase Jesus' commentary on the story might be, if only the children of light would be as prudent regarding their spiritual needs as the children of this world are regarding their material needs. By naming his perception, Jesus is in fact challenging his disciples to examine their own lives. We might hear the question this way: for what are you better prepared, physical survival or spiritual survival? Jesus is not asking anyone to ignore or disregard their physical or material needs. We know too well the oppressive burden and inhuman suffering carried by those who lack adequate food, clothing, shelter, and health care. Yet in the midst of a physical and material world, Jesus wants us to remember that we are spiritual beings whose essence is born of God. We find our true security, passion, and purpose in the realm of spirit. This truth can easily be lost, however, as we are faced with what seems to be more immediate and more real physical needs. To the children of light, Jesus says, "You do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be provided. What you sow, you will reap. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Kingdom principles applied in the physical world transform material reality into kingdom reality. One who pursues God with all her or his heart, mind, and soul will live out of and in the Spirit of God. Therefore, right relationships will prevail, and right use of money and all the things of the earth will be manifest in the physical world. The material world provides for our physical existence. The world of spirit infuses us with life itself. How different might our world be if children of light sought after the spiritual life with the determination, diligence, and focus as the children of the world in pursuit of material wealth and security. I want to leave you with two questions for reflection. What is the state of my spiritual well-being? And secondly, what is my strategy to help me progress on the spiritual path? Amen.